Hi, and welcome back to Dr. Isabel's Rant. It's Friday, obviously, and today I want to talk to you about eyes. Beautiful, gorgeous eyes. That is to say, we all know eyes are the mirror of the soul, and it is an accepted fact. A glance can reveal love, pity, joy, grief, hurt, or even spite and envy, without a word being actually spoken. Man, purportedly the highest of earthly life forms, is dominated by his head. Well, the men, I think, the male of the species, okay? All physical action is a response by the body to brain instructions, and the nerve fibers of the iris are connected to the brain via the hypothalamus. Thus, we have a visible extension of the brain providing a neuro-optic reflex of information, not dissimilar in principle to the external display of the vascular system provided at the back of the eye when the retina is examined with an ophthalmoscope. You know, when you go to have your eyes tested to see whether you can still see properly or you need glasses and the health of your eyes. Now, questioning a patient can, without some considerable experience, produce quite a vague picture. Now, I can tell you, they are vague. Amazing. And they try and, I suppose, test you a little bit to find out why you're doing the job you're doing and things like that. So, quite interesting. I ask questions and people get really sort of, what the hell? How the do you know? And I'm saying, your eyes are telling me. And they go, oh, you're joking. Sod off. No way. Oh, yes, they do. So when you meet an iridologist or naturopathic iridologist or a naturopath in general, you can be fairly certain that they look you into the eyes quite deeply. And it's not to whisper sweet nothings into your ear, it's to check what's going on in your body there. So anyway, on the other hand, the practitioner, when questioned, must of necessity produce precise and clear answers. So an iris analysis will not only reveal precisely where the immediate problem is, i.e. acute, or the pain possibly lies, but also the weakest area functionally, which may in the long term have contributed to the manifesting symptoms. For example, a skin problem may be due mainly to chronic lymphatic congestion. Treating the lymphatics may clear the skin problem to a degree, but if the eliminative channels, such as the kidneys or intestines, the gut, are excessively congested, liver, gallbladder, you've heard me talk about all that, then the problem we will continue and come back time and time again. The lymphatics may be overloaded by bowel toxicity, bacteroids percolating out due to a leaky gut syndrome back into the system. Without bowel cleansing and rejuvenative work on the strengthening of the intestinal epithelium walls, all other efforts will be counterbalanced. Okay, so no point. Also, the value of being able to show your patient the shape of his or her bowel, the various distensions, diverticuli, the positioning of the parasitic infestation, the depth of the candidiasis, Candida albicans, I'm sure you all heard about that, and so on, is invaluable, especially if they have not previously connected their problems with the intestinal tract, the hub of the home. Actually, these days, with scientific studies, we do know that, in fact, the intestines or the gut is called the second brain, because whatever happens in the gut will affect whatever happens in the brain. So how else can you convince a person evacuating, i.e. going to the loo for number two or a poo, twice daily, that they actually have bowel pockets and distensions holding waste products of many years' duration? Proof and illustrations are needed to spur such patients on to working faithfully at the relevant therapies with understanding. Now, I had a very interesting case yesterday, actually quite tragic and very sad, because it's a young man, and he is vaccine injured. And of course, the medical profession are denying everything and saying, no, absolutely not. No, 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 no. And he has serious, serious troubles. I'm hoping that I'll be able to help him with the majority of them. But some things won't be coming back, I suspect, because it's just too long. The medical profession has denied it. I haven't even had a chance to look at his eyes yet. But just from the naturopathic point of view, questioning various connections, they couldn't believe when I was saying you have skin problems. And he said, yes, I've had acne, etc., for years. Don't know why. They keep giving me really horrendous drugs and really strong, and I react badly to them. And I said, okay, fine. What about your bowels? And he said, oh, constipated or diarrhea, swinging from one end to the other. And I'm going, oh, okay, fine. I think we have a problem there. We need to get the gut sorted. And he said, why are you talking about that? And I said, well, because this is connected. And we were going with other things, and I was saying, well, what about your kidneys? You know, have you had back pain? And is this wrong, that wrong? And he was going, oh, yeah, but why are you asking me these questions? And I'm saying, well, because they're all interconnected. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're telling me X, Y, Z, I will be looking at A, B, C, because that is the connection and that is the way it gets together and it works together. Bless him. He was there. His mother was with him, luckily, because there is a disability which... I needed somebody else with him, and so it was very, very interesting, and it was actually really, really touching, both of them, after the consultation. And unfortunately, as I said, I didn't have time for my normal three and a half hour consultation, for the simple reason that I'm so busy at the moment, and I'm having another inpatient coming in at the end of this week. And therefore all these long consultations are being bumped forward. So I've got effectively now a waiting list for consultations. And, I felt very sorry. And I said, because when his mother rang, she was quite desperate. He was quite desperate. And I said, look, I can give you 2 hours. This isn't the whole thing. You'll have to come back, but at least I can work out what the major emergency is at the moment, which we did. Anyway, so after just over 2 hours, it was really sweet. I said, really sorry, but, you know, you've got to go. You've got a patient coming in. And she was already waiting. And they said, thank you so much. Nobody has ever actually taken the time to listen in all the 12 years. We've been shoved from pillar to post. Most of the time, the medical profession didn't even believe us. Actually, one doctor said, if you actually made an effort, you could do this, which, of course, you know, for a young chap, and I mean, I said he's in his early 20s, so you know, at that time he was in his early, in his late, sort of early teens, as it were. You know, how can you say that? And he was distraught. And to them, to say thank you very much, nobody has ever listened in the last 12 years, I was shocked. I really, really was shocked. But the things I hear at the moment from the medical profession, I actually wrote to one patient when she told me what had happened to her, and I said, what are the doctors trying to do? Are they all trying to kill us off? Which I think is pretty short-sighted. It's a short-term, you know, short-term profit, because if you kill off all your patients, well, you haven't got any left, have you, after a while? So you've got lots of money, but you have no patients. So wouldn't it be better to try and help people and then they come back and you have a sort of steady income rather than a big profit now and then nothing for decades afterwards? But obviously, my brain works differently to people of that medical profession. And there you go, my rant. It is called Dr. Isabel's Rant. On W4CY. Anyway, going back to the eyes and actually iridology, which is really fascinating. I love doing it and I love surprising people by asking them, just by looking in your eye, oh, you know, you're having such a pain, or what's that? Have you got varicose veins? it's great. Now, just what is iridology? Iridology is a diagnostic method based on medical research, and don't ever forget that, even if people are trying to explain to you that it isn't, it is. And it's been around for a very, very long time, because already Hippocrates used it. Now, iridology is the study of the irides, i.e. the coloured part of the eye. It is the exposed nerve endings which make up this part of the eye, i.e. the coloured part of the eye, all of which are connected directly to the brain. On a parallel with reflexology, where the practitioner can feel the abnormalities of the reflex nerve endings on the sole of the foot, a trained iridologist can actually see a veritable ordnance survey map of the reflex nerve endings, exposing genetic inheritance, congestive and irritative zones, and the various interreactions within the bodily system. In the hands of those who are well versed in the pathology of the pathways of disease, as well as anatomy and physiology, this provides a veritable microchip of information. You don't even need any of that modern microchip stuff, which they're now trying to get into our bodies all the time. Because then they can know what is wrong with you before you actually realise, or they can create stuff, I'm sure. Now, iridology complements all therapeutic sciences because it provides the vital information needed in order to establish the root cause of ailments, thus revealing the appropriate treatments required. Hippocrates and Philostratus used iridology. Iridology was taught at the medical school of Salerno, and even the Chaldeans of Babylonia in 1000 BC, not a modern thing then, is it? Left records for irides markings with the relevant anatomical reflexes painted onto stone slabs. Now, in the 17th, 18th and 19th centuries, writings and works in iris markings and their meanings were recorded, largely by medical practitioners, obviously. One of the earliest was Dr. Ignaz von Vasselli, and he was a Hungarian doctor. When he was 11 years old, he accidentally broke the leg of an owl when it instinctively fought against being captured. I mean, what 11-year-old little boys are doing, I don't know. Naughty, isn't it? Now, the boy noticed the black mark appearing in the owl's iris as Victor and Captor glared at each other. As von Vasselli nursed the owl back to health, and in the following years of a more voluntary relationship, i.e. they became friends, he noticed the mark which appeared upon injury changing in form and shaping. Ignaz von Vasselli qualified in medicine in 1867 at the Viennese Medical College. During his internship, he had ample opportunity to study the iris of patients before and after surgery. He also performed innumerable autopsies and throughout research systematically, his early findings correlating and extending his knowledge before publishing his book, Discoveries in the Realms of Nature and Art of Healing, establishing his iris chart in 1818. And it's still, if you can get hold of it, it's still one of our main textbooks for iridology. Now, meanwhile, in the 1860s, a Swedish boy, Nils Lilliquist, was reduced from a robust young man to a sickly boy as a result of vaccination. And hey, presto, look at that. We've already got a vaccination injury here. Now, it was followed by much drugging with quinine and iodine between the ages of 14 and 20, and he noted the changes in the colour of his formerly blue eyes as the drug spot accumulated. In 1870, he published a paper, Quinine and Iodine Change the Colour of the Iris, changing his career pathway from that of allopathic medicine. Lilliquist became a homeopath, as that was the treatment which actually restored him. After studying many of his patients, he published Om Ögondiagnosen in 1893. Do you like my Swedish accent? Which included his iris chart. So we've now got another one. Human anatomy being what it is, we should not be surprised that both his chart and von Vasselli, the Hungarian doctor, were very similar. Much of the American medical research stems from the Austrian emigre, Dr. Henry Edward Lane, who carried out most of his surgical and autopsy correlation with iried markings at the Cosmos Sanitarium in Evanston, in Illinois. His book, Iridology, the Diagnosis from the Eye, was published in 1904 as the scientific essay for the public and medical profession, and he substantiated his records with the fact that thousands are examined before just one marking could be considered corroborated. Now, that's really interesting, and I think later on, because I was at the Iridology conference a couple of weeks ago, and I did promise you that I'd report back from that, which was absolutely amazing. The Guild of Naturopathic Iridologists International has actually, as I said, was the conference, the symposium, the annual general meeting as well. And one of our most well-known researchers, John Andrews, was there, gave a very interesting speech, and I have actually a very short interview with him at the end of this program. The last few minutes of this program is just the interview. Unfortunately, because I could only get him literally in the conference hall, the quality of the recording isn't exactly perfect. But I hope you can still get the gist of what he's saying. And he is now, scientific research is now so detailed of the eyes and of the iris, the sclera, the white part of the eye, that's the sclera, the colored eye, the part of the eye is the iris, and the black part of the eye is the pupil. And the pupillary zone, the zone between the pupil and the iris, is now really, really amazing, because we can now actually go back six generations and work out which traits and DNA or genetics you have, which affect you now in your life now, from your forefathers. And we could go back, as I said, six generations. So that's almost 200 years. And that's all there in your eyes. And what I found very, very fascinating, we can really look at that with modern iridology now and see markings and see what is going to possibly affect you in this life and how to tackle it, because we know how long is it now? Is it quiet now? It's something that you've inherited from your grandparents, or is it something which you've inherited from your great-great-grandparents? Or is it something that you acquired? But also, the other thing which I found absolutely amazing is that under the Soviet Union, iridology was part of the medical process. It was part of the diagnosis, because obviously the Soviet Union didn't have so much money available to just throw and, you know, have a scan for this and have a scan for that and do this and do that and blah, blah, blah. They actually used iridology as a diagnostic tool in order to make the decision whether they should go for further investigation or even in invasive investigation. So they were at the forefront of research of iridology. Now, obviously, the Soviet Union fell apart some 25, 28 years ago. And all that stopped, particularly under Yeltsin, all the finances for anything like that got cut. But because of the satellite states from the ex-Soviet Union, like Belarus, they decided they could not afford to lose iridology. So it is still part of the medical training in Belarus. It is still an integral part of the medical training. So if you are going to be a doctor, allopathic or not, doesn't matter, you have to do iridology, and you will use it in your daily practice. And I find that absolutely amazing and incredibly sensible. And apparently, John Andrews is saying later on, you'll see that later on, he is saying that in Russia, it is now being reintroduced, that if you study medicine, you are going to learn iridology, because it cuts time, it cuts cost. And it's really, really important to be able to do that. And it saves them apparently shedloads of money. And I was thinking, okay, why can't our NHS do this? Why can't we do this? Why is iridology one of those things which, when I say to my patient, you know, this and this and this, and I say, why can't my doctor say that? Or they come back and say, well, you said X, Y, Z. It's been proven. But guess what? It's mumbo jumbo as far as our GPs are concerned and the consultant at the hospital. Only one GP, who happens to be a friend of my brother's, actually, he came up to me and he sent me several patients when, you know, she can't do any harm, I can't do anything, that you've got nothing to lose, you might as well go and see her, see what happens. We met socially one evening, and I'd sent various patients back to him and saying, look, I think this might be the problem, why don't you check out XYZ? And I was proven right, mainly through iridology. But it was very interesting because he came up, as I said, during a social event, and he said, oh, Izzy, just wanted to say, thanks for sending the patients back. Really appreciate that. Your pointers were spot on. I love and I admire, and that's for a GP here in the UK, that's a really, really big something. I admire the way you diagnose. And then came the bit, which I absolutely loved. I just burst into hysterics. God, I felt like crawling on the table and killing myself laughing. He said, but for the work you do, just don't forget, he's just said how much he admires the way I diagnose and the accuracy of my diagnosis, okay? He said, but the work you actually do, for that, I think you should be burnt at the stake. You're a witch. I was trying so hard to be very polite and not to laugh in his face. I just felt like throwing myself on the floor, kicking my heels up and killing myself laughing. Because if you admire somebody's diagnosis, that's great. You know, and I have to say, I really admire him for coming up and admitting it and saying, yes, I really appreciate the way you diagnose. But then to actually disqualify everything else I do because of the diagnosis, it's just hysterical. But at least he was honest. At least he was honest. You can't fault him for that. You can't fault him for that. So no, it was really, really funny, and I really enjoyed it, loved every minute of it, and yeah. What else can you say to someone like that? You know, okay, we'll see. But then, of course, we've got the quantum infinity now coming in with frequency, and I think if I started to tell him that, but luckily he's now retired, I think he'd really have me locked up. So that that was really amazing. But iris diagnosis is just really, really amazing. It doesn't only show you, you know, when somebody looks at you, that you love them or you hate them or whatever. It actually shows you their state of health. And it's like my other half. When I start looking at him, and he says, oh, God, that look again. And he means, you know, I'm not looking at him because I love him, which obviously I do. But I'm looking at him because I've picked up something in his eyes, in his iris. Now, he's Punjabi, and he has a really dark, or what we call a true hematogenic iris, a really dark brown, almost black. And it's quite difficult to actually see without magnification whether there is something wrong or what the markings are, really. But I, you know, over 33 years, I've been able to sort of tell what's been going on. And so, you know, when I start looking a little bit closer, then he likes, he knows exactly, I've seen something in his eyes, and I'm sort of thinking, okay, do I actually talk to him about this? Or is he in such a mood that I better not broach the subject? So it is really, really amazing. And it's quite funny when you with people and you know, as soon as they find out you're a doctor, they're going, oh God, I've got these back pains, or you know. And the party trick, in a way, is basically there is a particular marking on the sclera, not in the coloured part, in the white part of the eye, which is very, very prominent when you've got cow's milk allergy, which is inherited. And oh yeah, I've always got this bloated thing. And I said, oh, may I just, you know, have a look at your right eye? And you just very gently pull the lower lid down and you have a look, and you say, oh yeah, you're allergic. You've got an inherited allergy to cow's milk. I suggest you stay clear of that. And they're like, what? God, how did you know that? I said, well, there are these markings, you know. So it is really quite funny. Freaks people out sometimes, but oh boy, do I love it. Anyway, now having ranted on about the point that it's really important, it is a very, very important tool, and I think definitely the whole of the medical profession worldwide should follow in the Russian and Belarus footsteps and make sure that every sort of training doctor or trainee doctor should learn iridology in order to help them diagnose. It is really, really important that you learn from qualified people. And the people, obviously, I'm a member of is the Guild of Naturopathic Iridologists International, as I mentioned before, because we had the AGM. Now, the website is www.gni-international.org. So that is G for golf, N for North Pole or something, I for India, minus international, the word, .org, O-R-G, Oscar Romeo Golf, okay? www.gni-international.org. Now, they're our sort of our body in the country to let, you know, the sort of the governing body in the country. And that's really good. And if you want to learn iridology, that is where you can find out where the schools are in the whole of the UK. And I think even some of the other international schools are actually registered there as well. Now, I don't think my college, where I trained all those moons ago, is actually on the internet or has a website, but you can reach it through the GNI International. And it is Angela Brackbury at the Holistic Health College. And it's really, really invaluable. They are amazing. And it's not just that you learn about iridology. There are other courses where you learn about other aspects of naturopathy, which obviously is very important too. One of the things I learned, which is obvious to me, that as a naturopath, you have to learn, is, for example, that if somebody comes in with stomach problems, that you just have a quick touch-up of their stomach, i.e. you check, for example, whether the liver is extended or i.e. larger, or whether it's hard or something like that. And I had a case recently who a lady who came in and said, I have had a battle with doctors for the last 2 years. They've done scans, they've done ultrasound scans, they've given me colonoscopies and flexible sigmoidoscopies and all those things. I had the camera up my backside, I've had the camera down my throat, and I really, really don't know what's going on, but the pain is intense. Can you please, I know you do ultrasound scanning, can you please do an ultrasound scan? I don't understand what's going on. Something is wrong in the liver, gallbladder, intestine area there. It's a deep, deep hurt. And I went, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. And she was telling me a story about running from Pontius to Pilate for 2 years. And they basically, her consultants and her GP have now told her, well, that's just tough luck. You better go and live with it. And I think it's all in your head. Okay, so I had a look with the ultrasound and I couldn't see anything. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, I can't see anything at all, but can I just check your, you know, palpate, as it's called, your stomach? And she looked at me and she said, oh, yes, of course. And I said, is there anything wrong? I'll make sure I've got warm hands, because there's nothing worse than having somebody palpate your stomach and you have cold hands. Ah. Anyway, so I said to her, you know, thinking that she's scared about the temperature. And she said, no, that's fine. But you're the first person who's actually asked whether she could palpate my stomach. None of the other people, whether they've done ultrasounds, camera up and down, whatever, nobody's ever actually touched my stomach. And I went and touched her and I thought, well, hold on a minute, we have a serious problem here. And she said, why? Because you didn't see anything on the scan. Everybody else has been telling me it's a serious, there is nothing, there is no serious problem. And I just went, but hold on a minute, your liver is so hard that I don't think it's actually working at proper capacity. We have a major problem. We need to do something about your liver. I don't care what it is. I assume it's parasites, because then you can't see them in the ultrasound. If they're not active, you can't pick it up in the blood or in the stool. But your liver is struggling. We need to do something now. And she went, my God, why in all the 2 years, in all the months, in all the examinations I've had, and because it happened after a trip to India, and she could actually tell me the day when her problem started, and she turned around and said, in all the 2 years, nobody has even thought of palpating my stomach. And I thought, that is frightening. And you know what? I was checking with a friend of mine who is a GP. She's very sweet. They're my neighbours. And she said, well, no, it's not something we learn at medical school anymore. And I thought, well, hold on a minute. That already tells you tons of stuff. I don't need to do a scan for that. I can feel that something is wrong and that something needs to be done. Now, from the homeopathic and naturopathic point of view, obviously, we can do a hell of a lot there. And that is not the problem. Anyway, so looking at the eyes, sure enough, there is a sign in the iris that there is a problem with the liver and the gallbladder, and it is a parasitic one. So now we're doing a parasite cleanse, and we're doing sort of, you know, supporting the liver, etc., etc., and doing all the things we can do. But that is by the by. The time has finished. I will give you the address for the Guild of Naturopathic Iridologists International again, www.gni-international.org. And if you have any questions or need to have the address again, please send me an email to isabel@foxborough.co.uk, which is I for India, S for Sierra, A for Alpha, B for Bravo, E for Echo, L for Lima, L for Lima, E for Echo, at F for Foxtrot, O for Oscar, X for X-ray, B for Bravo, U for Uniform, R for Romeo, G for Golf, H for Hotel, .co.uk, with Dr. Isabel France in the subject line. Okay, isabel@foxborough.co.uk, Dr. Isabel France in the subject line. Thank you so much for listening to my rant this week. Really appreciate it. Dr. Isabel France on W4CY as a paranormal. I will hand over to the darling and gorgeous Irish Jinger after this. But first of all, please bear with me and listen to the wonderful John Andrews. And once again, really a thousand apologies for the bad quality. It was the only time I could get hold of him to do the interview. There is a lot of background noise, but I do hope that you can actually hear what he has to say, because it's absolutely fascinating. And then we'll take it from there, and I'll speak to you again next week. Lots of love. Don't forget, spin, hug a tree, or barefoot, of course, as per usual. And yes, enjoy the chat, the brief chat with John Andrews. And obviously his address is available I am saying it during the interview, and he is repeating it in the interview. But please, if you don't get it, send me an email, and you want to get a hold of him, because it really is amazing. The courses he does them all over the world. He does them in Brazil, in the States, in Belarus, in Russia, you name it, he's there. So please, please take the time and try and listen. It is well worth the hassle. Thank you so much, and take care. And I hand you over to John Andrews now, and then Irish Ginger.